Hey, hello, SJCAC and New Vine family. It's so good to be with you again on this Sunday. You know, because our county is now back in the purple tier, which doesn't allow for indoor worship gatherings, we're actually going back to a recorded worship service format for some Sundays. And we'll actually be able to still live stream on a rotational basis on other Sundays with a limited number of essential folks to make the live streaming possible. So just wanted to let you know that, you know, we are following all county guidelines to keep everyone safe. You know, I hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm sure it was different from what you may have been used to in previous years, but nevertheless, a great reminder to reflect and still be thankful. Now, I just wanted to pause a bit and really take a moment to reflect. Yes, it has been a difficult year. The pandemic, sheltering in place, racial injustice, virtual learning, not seeing one another for the past 8 months, and most recently, even moving from the orange tier back into the more restrictive purple tier. But we still have a lot to be thankful for during COVID. As a church, SJCAC celebrated our 45th anniversary. New Vine celebrated our 4th anniversary. And New Spring Community Church, our new Mandarin church plant, launched in the North San Jose area. 21 of you finished Paul's Life and Letters class that took about 18 months. 11 of you diehards finished the Life of Christ class, which was 30 months. So a big hearty congratulations to all of you that have completed such a tremendous milestone. Many of our women completed the Empower class, and still many more started the latest Empower session this past fall. Pastor John Mann arrived in May and joined our staff as our worship pastor. Despite being in this pandemic, he still followed God's lead to San Jose and is now ministering to us. And I know of at least 4 new babies that were born during this season. Sayuri to Rosa and Hiro, Victoria to Celia and James, David to Bethel and Corey, and most recently Luke to Vivian and Eric. So really, congratulations to all of you families, and we're praying for you as your little ones grow and that they would just really know the love of God. You know, a couple weeks ago, we commissioned and will be sending off our very own Reverend Jason and Andy Ho to Taiwan as they serve as Alliance missionaries and as they leave in January. You know, these are just a few examples of what we as a church are thankful for. But I'm sure you have a lot more to add as you reflect on this past year. And it was great to hear from so many of you as to what you were thankful for from the video clip that we just saw. Now, we all know that this whole thing of being thankful and this topic of thankfulness is not just an attitude or perspective to have around the November timeframe. In fact, throughout all of Scripture, we are instructed to give thanks to the Lord, even from the Old Testament to the New Testament. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Ezra 3:11 says, "And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the Lord, of the house of the Lord, was laid." David in Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name." In the New Testament, Paul reminds us in Ephesians 5, verses 19 to 20, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." One more example from Colossians 3:17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now today, I know I just went through a whole bunch of passages from Scripture. I want to focus just on one single passage from the Gospel of Luke. It's a familiar story of one of Jesus's miracles of healing, but it's also a story of thanksgiving and also one of faith, of great faith and gratitude. Let's all read together from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So just a few thoughts. We have this picture of 10 lepers, right, that are seeing Jesus and his disciples as they come into this village. Well, what do we know about leprosy? What do you know about leprosy? You know, leprosy may not be as common nowadays as it was in biblical times. You know, we start with these 10 men who have the worst disease of their day. Physical ramifications are quite horrendous. Leprosy attacks the body, the skin, leaving sores, sometimes missing fingers, missing toes, damaged limbs. In many cases, there's a loss of sensation in the nerve endings, leading to more damage of body parts. Entire limbs can simply fall off. Quite a horrible disease. Once a person caught leprosy, it was considered incurable, and those diagnosed with leprosy were literally banned from society, removed from their family and their loved ones. But the loathing directed at these lepers were not necessarily a fear of a disease, but actually leprosy made a person ceremonially unclean. And if you're familiar with Jewish laws, you're not supposed to approach an unclean thing or animal. To touch a leper defiled a Jew almost as much as touching a dead person. In a sense, leprosy was seen as a sign of God's disfavor. Now, it was common for lepers to group together since they couldn't have contact with those that were clean, the rest of the Jewish people. So they formed their own unclean society, kind of like an untouchable group. Lepers tended to roam together in groups, looking for food, begging for assistance from a great distance. But they had to yell in loud voices, both from the need to warn others, "Unclean, unclean," but also to beg for help along the way. Now, Jesus, in this story in Luke 17, meets this group of 10 lepers. Now, when Jesus and his disciples approach this village, the lepers immediately recognize him and call out his name. Now, we don't know what they heard about Jesus or what they knew of him, but they called him Master, as we just read, signifying a reverence for who Jesus was. And in verse 13, it says, they lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." What do the lepers ask for? They ask for mercy or pity, a familiar cry that they probably utter ever since they've been diagnosed with leprosy and cast out of their own villages. You know, they're used to voicing this, you know, "Have mercy on me," to whoever may hear their cry and their plea. Now, what's interesting is they didn't ask for healing, but they asked for mercy or pity. For whatever Jesus might give to them, whether it be food or clothing, shelter, whatever he decided to offer, they would take it. Now, when you're desperate, you'll take whatever Jesus offers. But they know Jesus' reputation for compassion. But they didn't really ask for necessarily healing. They just asked for mercy and pity. Now, Jesus' response in verse 14 is quite interesting. He responds to them and he says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest. Now you might think, wait, this doesn't quite make sense. Just go and show? Like, he didn't do anything. He didn't touch them like he touched the leper in Matthew chapter 4 and how he healed him after he touched him. He didn't spit in the mud and apply that to their bodies. He just spoke and told them to go and to show. Now, what's really also another interesting fact is, you know, only priests, according to Jewish law found back in Leviticus chapter 14, could declare a person healed of leprosy, clean and refit to join society. Now, Jesus doesn't say that they are healed. He just kind of says, go and show. So he kind of implies that if they go, they somehow will be healed. And somehow they must obtain this clean bell of health from the priest who can grant it. But what's interesting is after he says, go and show yourselves to the priests earlier in verse 14, that the latter half of verse 14 says, and as they went, they were cleansed. You know, even though Jesus just said, go and show, surprisingly, all 10 of them, they listened to him. Surprisingly, you know, even though they looked down at their own bodies, you know, even though they still maybe saw their own hands being mangled, or maybe the leg was still kind of in a filthy rag, and maybe another one looks at his skin and finds it repulsive as ever, these men still somehow went. In other words, all of these men were no better off than they had been minutes earlier when they had first spotted the famous teacher. Nothing in that interaction changed anything when Jesus said, go and show. They were still lepers. But yet, somehow, they were able to hear his voice and obey. And they were like, okay, you're telling me to go and show. You didn't touch me. You didn't spit in dirt and apply mud to my body. But because you said go and show, I'm going to go. So they headed off in search for the priest. And surprisingly, miraculously, amazingly, as they were on their way, they were healed. Verse 14 again says, and as they went, they were cleansed. Perhaps on their way, a hand reappeared. Maybe the leg, the limb, the missing limb grew back in place. You know, maybe it was whole, complete. Maybe the skin cleared. Maybe it was turned from white to back to their normal skin color. One looked at the other, and perhaps they started realizing, hey, wait a second. You don't look leprous anymore. What is happening? There came a point as they began to obey Jesus that this healing took place all of a sudden. It doesn't say when, at what point they started being healed. But imagine if they were like, no, Jesus, it doesn't make sense. I don't believe you. How can you say go and show when you haven't even done anything to me? Imagine if they had disbelieved Jesus and laughed perhaps at his command, as illogical as this go and show seems, they wouldn't have been healed. But they believed him. That is, they actually had faith, and they walked out their faith in obedience. And as a result of walking out in faith, on the way to the priest, the healing happened. They actually had to start walking in faith before their circumstances changed even one tiny bit. You know, a lot of times we wait for God to move. A lot of times we wait, we pray, and we say, God, show me a sign, or God, do something before I follow you, before I obey. But this is not what happened. Jesus told them simply, go and show. And these 10 went, even though when he said that, nothing happened. They were still lepers. But as they went, the healing came. Brothers and sisters, we cannot wait until our problems are over to start walking in faith. We cannot wait until something happens before we say, okay, Jesus, you told me to go and show, so I'm just going to follow you. We actually cannot put God in a box or put conditions on a holy God and say, Lord, as soon as there's enough money, as soon as there are enough resources, as soon as you do this or bless this, that I will follow your instructions. We can't pray, Lord, if you solve this issue in my life, in my family, in my school, then I'll start doing so and so. It's not conditional, brothers and sisters. He's, again, not a genie in a lamp. He's not a jack-in-the-box, whatever grants our wishes. Instead, God places a demand for faith on us before anything at all changes. Are we willing to move forward in faith despite? Are we willing to heed Jesus' voice to go and show, even though it doesn't make sense, and trust that as they went, they would be cleansed? Now, what's interesting is, we're not told at what point they discovered they are actually healed, and it probably didn't take very long, but as they were going to find the priests, one probably started looking and seeing the other as they were walking or running. Hey, how come your face looks a little different? How come your face is clear? Or how come your hands, the skin is soft and actually even and not puffy? And all of them started to begin to look at each other, themselves, and even realize that, my goodness, something's happening. We're actually being healed, even as they continue toward the priests. Now, all 10 lepers realized at some point that they were healed. But, as we read, only one comes all the way back to Jesus, praising God for his mercy in healing him. Only one came back. 1 out of 10, 10%. Quite a low hit rate, right? A very low percentage. But this one came back. He reversed his steps. He put seeing the priest on hold. He even put seeing his family on hold, being reunited with his loved ones. He didn't mind to backtrack. He didn't mind to be inconvenienced. He wanted to go back to Jesus. And what does it say in verse 15? He was praising God with a loud voice. You know, earlier in the passage, we read that the lepers cried out in a loud voice earlier to ask for mercy. They cried out saying, Jesus, have mercy, Master, have mercy on us. But only this one leper that returns offers loud thanksgiving and praise. He was thankful. He was public about it. There was no shame. He was loud, and he wasn't shy at all about it. He could not contain his praise, his thankfulness, his excitement. A lot of times, sometimes our cries to God for mercy, for intervention, for help are louder than our shouts to God for praise and thanksgiving. But not this one leper. He shouted out jubilantly, saying, he praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face and hit Jesus' feet in humility, in worship, in adoration. Now notice what I just said. A lot of times when we cry out to God for intervention, sometimes that cry may be louder than our response when God does actually do something. Brothers and sisters, how can our cries to God in thanksgiving and praise be louder than our requests? Just like this one that returned. Now let's take a look at what Jesus says when this Samaritan man comes back. In verse 11, Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Wait a second. Weren't there 10 of you? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? The surprise in this healing story is that the only thankful one is actually a non-Jew. You know, the mixed group of lepers presumably was made up with, probably Jews and Samaritans, because this disease united both of them. It crossed their deep divisions of religion, ancestry, and history. But the only courteous one that came back was this Samaritan, this foreigner. Now, you would expect those that would be thankful would all come back, would all be Jewish, would all be God's chosen people to express their gratitude. But those 9 didn't come back. Only this Samaritan, this foreigner. You know, it kind of reminds me of the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? How the priest and the Levi wouldn't be bothered or didn't want to stop and be inconvenienced or become unclean to help the wounded person, but rather the Samaritan who came off of his donkey to help this wounded person. You would expect that God's people would respond better. You would expect that God's people would show more gratitude and thankfulness. And we don't know why they didn't come back. Were they just so happy that they couldn't wait to see their family, couldn't wait to see the priest? Were they jaded? Perhaps they expected the healing from God, from Jesus? Did they take him for granted? And I think that's sometimes a reflection of our situation. You know, maybe we have taken God for granted. Well, of course God's gonna answer my prayer. Of course, you know, this is God's character. He, of course, is the one who provides. So, like, what's the big deal? This is just who God is. But how are we responding to what he has done? How is our gratitude? Are we continuing to give thanks and praise to God, not just during Thanksgiving time, not just during November, but every day throughout the year? You know, as a parent, sometimes what kind of bugs me is when my kids are not grateful. You know, sometimes I'll take them out for a treat or a snack or do something really nice, and they just kind of take it for granted, you know. And I, a lot of times I kind of hint, and I was like, huh, did anyone ever say thank you? You know, and then of course once I remind them, they're, oh, thank you, Baba, or thank you, Dad, or thank you so much. But sometimes I have to remind them. What really touches my heart is the times where I don't have to remind them, when all of a sudden someone will just say, thanks, Dad, or thank you for this, or thank you for that. And that really gives me a glimpse to what our Heavenly Father may be feeling. Do we have to be reminded to thank our Abba Father? Or are we always saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, God, for what you do in our lives? You know, it's great to remind each other to walk in thankfulness, to walk in a spirit of gratitude. But I think God loves it even more as his children, as his people, when we're not prompted, when we just say, God, thank you, just because. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for working in my life. Thank you for teaching me this lesson, even though it was hard. Thank you for the circumstance in my life, because through it, I see how you've taught me to persevere. Through it, I see how you've matured me. Sorry, I just had to scroll a little bit through my notes. The last thing I wanted to point out is in verse 19, at the end of this passage, when Jesus says, and he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Only to the Samaritan who came back is Jesus responding this way. This verse actually hints at the fact that Jesus offers this healed leper something more than those other nine. You know, the other nine, all 10 of them received physical healing. Yes, they were no longer lepers, but only this one Samaritan receives a deeper healing. And Jesus says, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. It was not just a physical healing, but his faith actually brought about salvation. His faith actually brought about a deeper healing to his soul. Not only his skin condition, not only his limbs, but a deeper wellness that only Jesus could give for eternity. His faith, the faith of this man, prompted him to return to the feet of Jesus in thanks and adoration. And through that personal contact and personal submission, it signifies a deeper healing that Jesus granted to his soul, more than just a physical healing of skin condition or limb condition. Jesus granted this Samaritan man a complete healing, a wellness that really surpasses the physical, the skin level. As we close today, brothers and sisters, a couple of things to note or to remind ourselves. Acting in faith, not waiting for something to happen before we obey. Even when things don't make sense, when God says go and show, when God says you need to go and do a certain thing, leaving the work and results to our Lord, but following him in obedience. What is God asking you and me to do today in faith? Are we able to say, okay, God, I trust you. Although it doesn't make sense, I'm going to go, even though I still look like a leper, I'm going to go and show myself to the priest. And who knows, maybe along the way, you're going to do something amazing. You're going to do something miraculous. Can we walk in faith and go and show? Having an attitude of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving throughout every day, throughout each week, not just because it's Thanksgiving. Willing to be inconvenienced, to come back, to say, Jesus, thank you so much, to fall at his feet and to give him praise, to even express our praise louder than our request, louder than our cries for mercy, louder for our cries for intervention, being vocal about our thanksgiving. Let's not be shy. Let's praise him in our worship, in our adoration, in our verbal boasting about what God has done for me. Are we like the nine who have tended to forget, to take things for granted? Or are we like the one to come back? How can we be like the one to come back to Jesus and to thank him? Trusting God to do an even deeper work than what we originally asked or hoped for. You know, these guys were just asking for mercy. Boom, God, Jesus granted them physical healing. But what did this Samaritan leper get? He got not just physical healing, he got a spiritual healing, a spiritual wellness. Trusting God that he would do an even deeper thing than what we could think or imagine, that he would bring about a deeper wellness within us that only he can do. Thanksgiving really is an act of worship. Being thankful to God is coupled by living out a life of worship. Thanksgiving, being thankful, also increases our faith as we reflect and recount upon God's goodness in our lives. As we recount and reflect on his blessings, it encourages us to step out in faith, to continue to trust him more, and to leave the results to him. So, brothers and sisters, I want to bless you to have a spirit of gratitude, to continue to live your life despite this COVID season, despite the curfew, despite all of these restrictions, quote unquote, to be living a life of thankfulness each day. Not just the big things, but even the small things. The blessings that God has given to you and to me, that we would continually reflect his praise and blessings on our lips today.
Thank you, Pastor Douglas, for a fitting message for the season. It'll be really appropriate for us to spend some time both in prayer, but also practicing what we heard, just giving thanks to the Lord for his ever-abiding presence with us. So let me close us in prayer, and then we'll end with a song of worship. Let's pray. Father, our hearts are full of gratitude. Even as this season has been very difficult for many of us, Lord. Lord, we have a reason that we can celebrate and we can give you thanks at all times, regardless of our circumstances. And it is because, even in this very moment, you're with us. You desire to be with your people. And you have given us a full access into your presence, Lord. So for that alone, Lord, we give you thanks. But Lord, we also know that your presence really means your favor, your healing, and all the fullness of your kingdom that is promised for us, for your children. So even as we linger and enter into your presence today, Father, we pray that there will be a release of healing, there will be a release of restoration, there will be just a full expression of your kingdom happening in every area of our lives, Lord. We love you. And we give you thanks today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.